Fellow freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio here on Nuka Radio. Love having you back, or I'm back. I love being back here. It's Monday. We're going to have Monday through Thursday show this week. I got to tell everybody, tell your friends that tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, Tuesday, it's going to be February 6th, very important day, Herb Titus. Do you know who Herb Titus? Yes, some of you know who Herb Titus is. He's actually a famous guy who's kind of under the radar in some significant cases that go before the Supreme Court, have gone before the Supreme Court in the last couple of decades. So some of you are familiar with me. He's going to be here tomorrow. He's going to be my special guest. He's 80 years old. He's going to be one of my top three interviews ever. One of my top three, I know this is strange. You might think this is strange. My top two that I think are my favorite interviews. One was with Big Daddy Don Garlitz a couple of years ago. And this, again, was before his wife passed away. And at the time, he last race he had done, he was 73 years old, and it hurt him really bad physically because it's kind of jars you around a bit. His wife asked him to not race anymore. Well, she passed away. And it's a great tragedy in his life. And of course, everybody that knew her and loved her. But now Big Daddy Don Garlitz is back in the car helping people develop an electric dragster. So he's an important guy. And it turned out he had profound things to say. When you get somebody who's been around and done a lot, and he's in his 70s at the time, he had some profound things for us to say. It's one of my favorite interviews. Second favorite interview was Ralph Carmichael. Yes, some of you in this state, this part of the world, let's say Nuga Radio again, Nuga Radio footprint, know who Ralph Carmichael was. He was actually a guy who was on the cutting edge of contemporary Christian music, even starting in the 50s, was still very famous in the 70s and was working, actually doing concerts just up to the last few years. He's actually my father's cousin. Last time I saw him was about 3 years ago. And that was actually I actually met him on the radio and interviewed him. It was very good. I really enjoyed it. He was just a great guy to have. And so now I'm going to have Herb Titus. So it's going to be my top three. One of my top three interviews is tomorrow. I want you to tell your friends to tune in 11 to noon. One thing I listened to the prior show. I was listening to the Mike Gallagher show. And many of you who had listened to my, it was like a two-part program that I did a couple of weeks ago on the DACA thing. This kids that are here from another country and it's not their fault kind of thing. And what you discovered on my show was totally different than something that Mike Gallagher said. He said what the common thought was on about how that DACA thing came about and what it was. You actually got the fully researched truth here on Nuga Radio, on my Preservative Talk Radio. And if you would like to hear that fully, well, it wasn't a comprehensive, let's say, discussion or treatise on it, because this is talk radio and we've got to keep our brains not too overly weighed with too much information. But you can go to preservativetalkradio.com. That's preservativetalkradio.com. And there will be a link there. It says recent radio shows. And you can hear the two-part series. Put that on your MP3 player and learn more than the average talking head knows in America. Yeah. In fact, you'll have more profound insight and more profound opinions because it'll be based on fact. So that'll be good. Now, and of course, I'd like to come back to that subject because as I think it's important for those of us in this area, just because we have to frame our opinions based, I say, on the constitutional basis, the biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. My phone number here today is 833-4-MY-NEWS. That's toll free 833. That rhymes. Toll free 833-4-MY-NEWS. That's 4-MY-NEWS. Let's start with the number 469-6397. 469-6397. I have a troubling thing to talk about today. It's in the news. Yes, it is. Some of you have heard about this kind of thing. And I'm going to talk. The theme of my discussion today is 10 Commandments of Public Service. The 10 Commandments of Public Service. And I don't want to be flippant with the 10 Commandments by any means. I do not want to be flippant with public service. I do not want to be flippant with Mayor Megan Berry of Nashville. I'm concerned, however. We all suffer when somebody falls. It is not something we want. Some people in the political realm would jump on a political person's faux pas. This is a little beyond a faux pas. This is beyond a faux pas, no doubt. But some people would, let's say, relish this. I grieve because, you know, judge not that you be not judged. Where's that? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And I know that with what judgment I put on somebody else, it's going to come back to me, knowing that. And let not many of you be teachers, in the book of James, it says, knowing you'll be twice judged. So it's very difficult. Oh, how about this one? What I'm doing is shining light on talk radio host here. In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I would get in so much trouble if I left dead airspace. So I have to appear sort of a fool to continue to talk. Oh, what's the other one? Even a fool is esteemed wise when he keeps his peace. So all of those things in consideration, I'm going to have to answer for every idle word on Judgment Day. So I know those things. I'm very conscious of that. But I'm also conscious of ministries and, let's say, purposes and what roles we play. I do not run a nuclear power plant. Okay? Some people do that, and they're awesome. They're ministers of God for our good. I do not collect the recycle stuff off my front in my yard, you know, take off to the recycle place. Somebody does that, and they are a minister of God for my good. You know what I do? I do this, preservative talk radio. And so these issues, it's kind of a warning for me as I'm looking at this news of Megan Berry. Let's just hear what she had to say.
I had a consensual relationship with a member of my security detail, and I am deeply sorry for that. And I am embarrassed, and I am sad, and I am so sorry for all the pain that I have caused my family and his family. I know that God will forgive me, but that Nashville doesn't have to. And I hope that I can earn their trust and I can earn your trust back and that you will forgive me. What I did was wrong. I should not have had an affair. I would have had the security detail with me as part of my mayor responsibilities, regardless of who that person was, but I should not have had that affair. Yes, it's over.
Can you say when?
Yes, it's over.
When did it end?
It's over.
How did it end?
It ended with saying it's over. This is a very bad day, and I'm going to have several more bad days, but this is not my worst day, and I will tell you that I know the difference between a mistake, and I made a serious mistake, but this is not a tragedy. This is a mistake. Okay, thank you all. I appreciate you.
So it's not a tragedy. It's a mistake. That's okay, a mistake. One of the things you want to think about, and this is why I'm going to kind of analyze this. And why does it matter? You say, well, this is Nashville. We're in Nuga land. We're in the Nuga footprint, right? Guess what? This stuff's coming to you if we do not stem the tide. And when things happen in Nuga land here and in other places, in different towns and in all of the states that touch our Nuga footprint, we have to make sure that we're thinking of things objectively and having people behave correctly. In fact, you may be somebody who is having some affair. Now, this is weird, but imagine somebody locally in the local area having an affair and having an affair with somebody on the security detail. You know, there's certain things we do knowing right from wrong and propriety, that there's certain people that we don't hire to go with us and get overtime pay if they're, let's say, related to us or have an undue relationship where there'd be some, looks like there's some particular benefit given to somebody, notwithstanding that the money of that benefit is coming from the state coffers. So, I'll try to take that out of code, meaning if I need somebody in a security detail, we're getting paid for by the taxpayers, I would think the person that would go with me would be on a random security detail lottery. In fact, even on the lottery, you may want to tend to not have that person getting overtime on your detail who happens to be your brother-in-law. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, there's little things that you have to think of. Is that okay? We'll get back to this. I'm going to talk about some of the things that were actually showed up in the news. So here we are, Megan Berry. What should we think of it? Now, I don't want to think of anything of having an affair with somebody at all. You don't. They call it an affair. It's an adultery. Why do they call it adultery? They need to just say what it is and be brutal about it. So Megan Berry is the seventh mayor of the Metropolitan Government of Nashville and Davidson County. I get this on some kind of Wikipedia or something like that. She was elected on September 10th, 2015. Now listen to this, the official web. Oh, this came from the official Nashville website. Mayor Berry's priorities are improving the educational outcomes at our public schools, engaging regional and state partners to develop a unified vision and plan. That wasn't dead airspace, folks. Engaging regional and state partners to develop a unified vision and plan for transportation, creating more affordable housing options for residents of all backgrounds, and continuing to grow our economy while ensuring all parts of Davidson County share in the prosperity. So remember what the purpose of government is? Protect your life, liberty, and property, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And remember what was it? It was George W. Bush said that government was called for these purposes was to extend the nation's prosperity and spend the people's money wisely. There's two moral foundations. They're opposed to one another. So here we say her job, her goal is engaging regional and state partners to develop a unified vision and plan for transportation. All right, let's see what this is. Now, one of the things that she's got, if you look in these programs that are going on in Nashville, and I'm going to read some of them. And what I'm going to do is again, the theme here is 10 commandments of public service. If you're in public service, do the 10 commandments apply? Let me read the 10 commandments. There's 10 of them. How's that? You shall have never no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Everybody's heard that one. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. So that's, I guess, setting up something that would be as if you're praying to it. You shall not take the name of your Lord, your God, in vain. Now, this is something may have happened here in this little speech by Megan Berry. Well, I don't know. Somebody else with a more divine look on this would probably have to judge that. I was listening to a debate, not a debate. It was comments between Dennis Prager and Ravi Zacharias. It's on YouTube. It's really neat. But they're having their comments on the cultural situation of the day. And one of the things that Dennis Prager said, and he knows the biblical Hebrew, he said this statement about not taking the name of your Lord, your God, in vain. He said it's not translated into English well. It's, you know, so some people say they use the word God in irreverently, and I think they do. And I think the people use the name of Jesus Christ irreverently. And the reason they do that, because it's actually blaspheming. Who else's name would be blasphemy, right? So you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain actually means you should not carry, not just take, in the English take, but to carry the name of your Lord God in vain. In other words, saying you're doing this in the name of God or with God's approval, you will proceed or whatever it is. It's sort of a false prophet sort of take on this. As he said, if you knew the depths of the Hebrew that statement comes from. So that's interesting. And then, of course, remember the Sabbath day. Now, what if the mayor of, let's say, Nashville or Nuga someday thinks that it's not important to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? What if they, just for whatever inspiration they have for the sake of prosperity and spending the people's money wisely, thought it was best to have everybody work 7 days a week as a general policy? Huh. You know what that would do? It would violate the Ten Commandments. I wonder if that should be in the Ten Commandments of public service. Now watch this next one. Honor your father and your mother. And, of course, the promise is, so it'll be well with you and you'll live long in the land your God is giving you. Okay, well, you shall not murder. Okay, you shall not commit adultery. Uh-oh. Whoa. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not. When did it end? when I said it ended. Okay. You shall not commit adultery. Is that something that is okay? Is that something it's something that we should contemplate in public service? Is, let's say, in the military, when I was in the military, they had this little thing said, thou shalt not commit adultery, and you could get a bad conduct discharge for committing adultery. And that's if you're in the Navy, if you're under that status. I wonder if it's possible that a public, even Nuga, in this Nuga area, and all the little counties and city governments could possibly think of incorporating a Ten Commandments of public service. How about that? Think about that. Thou shalt not commit adultery in Cleveland. You know, I mean, wherever it is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Is it possible we ought to contemplate instituting a Ten Commandments of public service? You shall not steal. If you're free to commit adultery, is it possible you're free to steal? Is there possibly and we got this little covet thing here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But is it possible if it's okay to commit adultery, it's okay to steal? Unless somebody, the reason we write laws down, because people that should know right from wrong forget or somehow don't know it. So we write it down so they'll know something is wrong. Even in nature, they should understand that. But just in case that there's something unnatural about them, we write things down in little policies. Is it possible we should have in a public policy for the Ten Commandments of public service, thou shalt not steal? Because maybe somebody hasn't read the Ten Commandment memo in the Bible. How about this one? You shall not bear false witness. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I guess that entire phrase is basically throwing somebody under the bus with false statements. And that includes making factual statements that lead to falsehood. Now, that's a subtlety most people don't understand when they're testifying. Like, for instance, I did not, you know, a certain president of the United States said he didn't have certain sort of relations with that woman. Well, it was under his definition. He thought he could fool himself into thinking that he was actually making a factual statement. But his intention, even though he was being silly about his meaning of words, his intention was to make factual statements that led to a falsehood. How about this one, the final one here? Thou shalt, this is numero 10. You shall not covet. You shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. You know what that includes? Your neighbor's wife. You know, also it includes your neighbor's taxpayer-funded overtime. There's all these little subtleties here. Should we have a Ten Commandments of public service? To raise questions, wrong thing. I'm reading the wrong thing, but I do want to step back here. Let's see what this says. This was reported. I don't think it was the Tennessean. I'll try to remember who gave this quote. I should have printed it here. Records show that Forrest, that was the man who just retired on January 17th because of this, I guess the day before the announcement of the affair or the adultery, the man in this case, let's see where, I forget his first name, it'll come to, yeah, Sergeant Robert Forrest, the head of the security detail for the city of Nashville. Records show that Robert Forrest had accompanied Barry on dozens of trips since her election, and it was right after her election, including 9 on which he accompanied her alone. Now, you and I have had discussions here on Nuga Radio on my Preservative Talk Radio that talked about the propriety that I teach my sons. All right. There's just certain things. We do not accompany ladies alone. We just don't do that. My sons don't do that. If you're not married to her son, she's somebody else's wife. You don't go hanging out with her alone. Now, so that's propriety. It's those of us with a regenerate mind. All right. Records show that Forrest had accompanied Barry on dozens of trips since her election, including 9 on which he accompanied her alone. These trips amounted to around $33,000 in expenses. Wow. You know, I really have been meaning to take my wife to Hawaii for 33 years, and I just can't afford it. You know, little romantic trip to Hawaii. I really owe her one. I mean, her honeymoon was just miserable. I bet with this kind of funding, I could do something that was a little bit better than our honeymoon. but we can only hope and covet our neighbors' tax dollars. These trips amounted to around $33,000 in expenses and over $50,000 in overtime pay for Forrest, for Sergeant Robert Forrest in 2017. $50,000 in overtime pay? Now, is it $50,000 in pay that happened to have some overtime? I mean, what was the actual number factor of what was actually overtime specifically related to these rendezvous? Troubling stuff. I'll try to keep it light a little bit. We're going to come back and get a little more information on this. David Alan Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio. And again, we come back, you can give me a call, toll free 833-4MY-NEWS. Fellow Freedom fans, again, David Alan Carmichael. Boy, I can just make up new words as I go. How about that? David Alan Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio on this Nuga Radio. And today I'm talking about the Ten Commandments of Public Service. Should we have a Ten Commandments of Public Service in light of Mayor Megan Berry's adultery with the lead person, actually a very significant person, but relatively an employee, somebody under the power of her influence. Here again, this was from fortune.com. I forgot to mention it earlier, but now that I remembered and I typed in my little notes here, fortune.com reports records show that Forrest, that's Sergeant Robert Forrest, had accompanied Berry on dozens of trips since her election, including 9 on which he accompanied her alone. These trips amounted to $33,000 in expenses and $50,000 in overtime pay for Forrest in 2017. Nevertheless, Berry contended that she has had a very aggressive schedule, noting that trips are all business related. Well, I love it. I love the very fact that my wife and I've been working out of my house, my office in my house. And I love the fact that I can have just a romantic company with my wife wherever I go, and I'm funded by whatever I'm funded. But guess what? We're married to each other. Now, should there be a Ten Commandments of Public Service? Is it possible? Now, why does this matter, again, to Nuga Radio? Well, for those in Tennessee, the Tennessee sector of Nuga Radio, Megan Berry may want to be your mayor, your governor when she grows up, or state senator or something like that. So it's kind of like seize the day. In fact, it's in Nashville. I wonder where John the Baptist is on this. Am I John the Baptist? Am I Yohanan? I don't know. Am I John the Baptist on this? And it's, again, I'm being a little bit facetious just for the factor of my talk radio shtick, which, again, is I'm reverent about the fact of adultery as a tragedy. What I'm a little bit miffed at is her response. And people say, oh, she's very contrite. Wait a minute. She's getting paid. Sergeant Robert, what's his name? I'll look it up. Not Briley. That's the vice mayor. I don't know why the vice mayor's not stepping up. And I don't know. It says Sergeant Robert Forrest. Yes, that's his name. First, maybe the only time that fame came to your name is a very difficult thing in this situation. But what should you be thinking? Let's see what's going on the agenda. And this is, again, the idea is to think down the road. Should there be a Ten Commandments for public service? Notwithstanding, look at this, folks. Did you know that way back when, and I tried to find out when, Tennessee took away adultery as being like a criminal act? It's still a crime on the common law, but Tennessee is progressively evading the application of common law things. You know that? So it's a common law offense. In some states, it's a felony, adultery. Now, adultery on the public take? Okay. It seems there's a point where there becomes a no-brainer, but I want to make a comment here. This is going to go to what I'm going to talk to Herb Titus about tomorrow. He's going to be my special guest tomorrow. One of my top three guests, actually one of my top three guests of all time forever, even from this day forward, is going to be tomorrow. It's Herb Titus. And Texas hired him to be a lawyer for them in the Lawrence versus Texas case, where this guy, Lawrence, they kind of, I don't want to get into too much detail, but what it was is two boys were doing something naughty, something against the laws of nature, and they were doing it at a party, and they were in a a private room. But what they did is they called the police, and the police came into the house, and they called the police for a no reason. It was a setup. Okay, there's a fight going on. We need the police. Police come in, and there's a party going on. Everybody's laughing and say, hey, so-and-so called. Where is he? And they pointed to this bedroom. Oh, he's in there. So the policeman goes in there, sees these guys doing unnatural things, and cites them with the crimes against nature. That went to the Supreme Court. Now, to me, I'm like, they should have thrown it out. The policeman does not have jurisdiction inside that bedroom. We can go back in the history of law. He does not have jurisdiction in that bedroom unless one of those people claims a crime is a victim of a crime and calls him in. There's no jurisdiction in that bedroom, but it was a setup. So what we had is we had the Supreme Court say, what a silly law, you know, that these crimes against nature would be a crime. So look what this commentary goes, and I think this was a CNN comment here. In 2003, the Supreme Court ruled in Lawrence v. Texas that sexual activity between consenting adults is legal, and the state laws banning homosexual sodomy are unconstitutional. It was one of the stupidest rulings on the planet, because now those things that are against the law of nature can't even be policed in public. Okay, so here it is that if the Supreme Court says the consenting adults can do whatever they want, suddenly adultery is a good, it's a right, instead of a wrong. So I think what we have here, to me, the response that Mayor Megan Berry had was an indicator that she's unregenerate in her mind. And the Bible says evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. And I don't think she's connecting dots, which means she possibly may not be able to connect dots. Where's John the Baptist in Nashville these days?
I had a consensual relationship with a member of my security detail, and I am deeply sorry for that. And I am embarrassed, and I am sad, and I am so sorry for all the pain that I have caused my family and his family. I know that God will forgive me, but that Nashville doesn't have to. And I hope that I can earn their trust, and I can earn your trust back, and that you will forgive me. What I did was wrong. I should not have had an affair. I would have had the security detail with me as part of my mayor responsibilities, regardless of who that person was, but I should not have had that affair. Yes, it's over.
Can you say when?
Yes, it's over.
When did it end?
It's over.
How did it end?
It ended with saying it's over. This is a very bad day, and I'm going to have several more bad days, but this is not my worst day, and I will tell you that I know the difference between a mistake, and I made a serious mistake. But this is not a tragedy. This is a mistake. Okay, thank you all. I appreciate you.
Now, as I was saying about the Ten Commandments of the public service, you know, there's a difference between a mistake and a crime. And what does the Internal Revenue Service think about mistakes and crimes? What's the difference between a mistake and a crime? A mistake is something, if you fill out your tax form and you're considering the Ten Commandments of private service or your personal service or public service or whatever you're doing, you're going to fill something out in a tax form. And you say on the bottom of this, I swear under penalty of perjury that the foregoing is true. I owe these people all this money. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter, but you've sworn under penalty of perjury that you owe the money and you're going to pay him the money. It's great. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for stimulating the economy. Now, what if you are wrong on accident? That's a mistake. What if you are wrong on purpose? That's tax evasion. It's criminal. This was a mistake. This is not a tragedy. This is a mistake. This is not an adultery. This is an affair. When did it end? When it's over. Okay. So, and again, why would you say that? Why would you say it's over? Because it's possible there is the potential, and I think she understands this, that there may be criminal charges regarding this because of the covetousness and potential for theft and undue influence and official misconduct. Is there possibility there's any official misconduct? Now, so why does that? Because she may be coming to your political influence in the near future. There may be ambitions that will affect you. I mean, look at the list of things they've got planned for Nashville. Metro Public Works announces beginning of glass recycling on Lower Broadway. That's great. Winter, this is off their government website. Winter weather treatment removal update. That's great. Mary Berry, January letter to council regarding medical college in Nashville General Hospital. Archaeology report issued for the Greer Stadium shows possible graves. Now, I read the details on that, and there's some private-public partnership with regard to a building, a stadium, and it had to come to a screeching halt because they found graves. And the private money that was in it saw some problems and backed out pretty quickly. Transit Authority and Affordability Task Force presents final recommendations to Mayor Megan Berry. What if in the Ten Commandments, they do not have the Ten Commandments of public service in Nashville, and nobody said to any mayor or anybody like that, that you're not supposed to covet the city tax money and you're not supposed to make friends with people so you can have a mutual benefit financially or physically? What if nobody's read the Ten Commandments of Public Service with regard to that? Transit and Affordability Task Force presents final recommendation. Okay, read that. Mayors of Nashville and Kansas City make a friendly wager on the AFC wildcard game. Marion Barry announces permanent director for Metro Public Works. What if in the Ten Commandments of Public Service that haven't been read, that Mayor Megan Berry, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to just push reset on my brain. What if when she announces a permanent director for Metro Public Works that she doesn't understand the Ten Commandments of Public Service with regard to covetousness and false witness and potentially adultery? What if she doesn't understand? This is a hypothetical. What if a mayor of any town did not understand the Ten Commandments of Public Service? What could happen when you're announcing a permanent director? Mayor Berry shows Let's Move Nashville will create thousands of jobs, produce billions of dollars in local economic activity during construction period. What if in the Ten Commandments of Public Service that haven't been read, if there was some message there that says do not have undue influence in your relationships with those who are going to be getting city contracts? Especially if you've forgotten that the purpose of government was to protect your life, liberty, and property, and it was not to extend the nation's prosperity and spend the people's money wisely. What if your paradigm was not something rooted and founded on an absolute right rather than an absolute wrong, or absolute right rather than anything that you feel like doing in a particular day? Here's another thing that's on their list. Dollars in local economic activity. Oh, I'm sorry. 24 Metro Council members to co-sponsor ordinance authorizing transit referendum for billions of dollars. Charlotte Avenue light rail corridor extended in mayor's transit plan. Again, what if the Ten Commandments of public service are not considered in relationships in that town? And again, why does it matter? That's in Nashville. Like, you know, but here's one more other thing. They have this land trust, this cooperative land trust thing. And I wrote here in my notes, I smell a rat. When the more you see the private public partnership kind of things going on, there's this at least it increases the potential of catastrophe, the potential that somebody somehow will stumble upon what would ordinarily be the Ten Commandments of public service. So I think now something to think about. OK, so that's a mayor in Nashville. What about here? What about in your locale in the Nuga footprint in the broadcast area, Nuga Radio, where we have listeners of this Nuga Radio are people with sound minds. But what if we're not paying attention? What if when somebody in power with lots of taxpayer money begins to misuse it and abuse it, you know, it just doesn't hurt their own spouse. It doesn't just hurt the spouse of somebody else. It hurts every single person whose life, liberty, and property is supposed to be the benefit of their service. So that's why I want you to think about. Let's read what the Tennessee statute says about official misconduct. There is a law against official misconduct. It says a public servant commits an offense who, with intent to obtain a benefit, only a benefit, or to harm another intentionally or knowingly. So you may not intend to offend and hurt and injure a woman who is married to a man that you are having communications with. You may not intend to hurt them, but knowingly, if you're in a sound mind, you realize knowingly it's going to hurt. That hurts their property. It hurts their pursuit of happiness. It does. And if it hurts one person, besides the fact that it's hurting every other taxpayer and the children of the community that are observing the, you know, it's like we are not supposed to have that sort of soap opera communicated to our children in our area. Okay, so here it is. Official misconduct. A public servant commits an offense who, with intent to obtain a benefit, how's that benefit, or to harm another in intentionally or knowingly, receives any benefit not otherwise authorized by law. I don't think the benefits of adultery are authorized by law. For the purpose of subdivision A2, a public servant commits an act under color of office or employment who acts or purports to act in official capacity or takes advantage of the actual or purported capacity. Is there a possibility in that situation that there was an advantage taken for a certain gratification? It is a tragedy. The statement, this is not a tragedy, is an indicator of sanity. Okay? This is not, I don't want to make a character. How do you do not make a character assault on somebody who is not in his right mind. So, but to say this is not a tragedy, it shows a lack of rationality. How does this affect us? This is something we have to walk carefully. This is always in Preservative Talk Radio. We're always going to be considering what our own duty is for the sake of our neighbor. We're going to love God and we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's going to stimulate our prosperity. I was listening to, again, I told you about this Dennis Prager statement where he mentioned that not taking the name of your Lord thy God in vain was really carrying the name of God, like putting that mantle on your shoulders and it's covering what you're doing or trying to get credit for what you're doing as if it were from God. So that's really, he says, the context of that. He also, while he was visiting with, I think it was Ravi Zacharias gave a Hebrew, what was it? It was a parable that's kind of in Hebrew tradition. And it said, if you want prosperity, you don't chase prosperity. It's chasing your shadow. He says, Hebrew parable that God is light. And if you would chase the light, that shadow prosperity will follow you. How's that? I didn't even think about using that today, but here it is. Think about that. God is light. And if you would follow the light, if you would walk toward the light, your shadow will follow you. And your shadow in this Hebrew parable is prosperity. If you chase prosperity, if you chase your shadow, you will never catch it. So in this mindset, I would like our Nuga Radio listener to think about when you're analyzing people to find it out what is they're chasing. Are they following in the light and instead of chasing prosperity and announcing on the government website how they're chasing prosperity, are they chasing light? Are they chasing right versus wrong? Are they chasing the absolutes of protecting your life, your liberty, your property as their very ministry of God for your good? If that is what they're doing, if they're chasing a light, you know what's going to follow in their shadow? What their shadow will be, you know what's going to get sucked up in the vortex as they move toward the light? Prosperity. it's this confound. It's just like everything that Jesus said that just confound your mind. Give and you'll be and it'll be given unto you. Right. If you really want to live, you must die. Isn't and you know, that's kind of a profound way. It touches on that Hebrew parable or whatever. If you want to live, you must die. If you want to have prosperity, you've got to turn your back on the prosperity and walk toward the light. If you walk toward that was right, you walk toward the light of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added unto you. That's kind of another way of saying walk toward the light, and you know what's going to follow? Your prosperity, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And I'm David Alan Carmichael, and this is my show I call Preservative Talk Radio on Nougat Radio. Love being here. This is radio that you're not going to get anywhere else. This is reality radio. Tomorrow, I'm going to have an incredibly special. This is a very important guest. He's 80 years old, still of his right mind, sound mind, still influencing things that are going before the Supreme Court. Herb Titus. And I want you to tell your friends, I want you to come, I want you to tune into Preservative Talk Radio, especially from 11 to noon tomorrow, and tell your friends. I'm going to record it. Yes, I am. So you can get it on my preservativetalkradio.com. The other thing, as I mentioned, that our information that we provided on this show at Nougat Radio is available on that DACA situation. You're going to know more about DACA than nearly all of the talking heads that you're going to hear from mainstream media. Okay, so thank you for being our listening. Thank you for partnering with us in this Nougat Radio land. Look forward to be with you tomorrow.